Exodus 29, and last week as we went through the 28th chapter, we were looking at the priests and the garments that they were to wear, the ephod, and the breastplate, and the robe under the ephod, and the hat, the turban that they were to wear with the plate on the turban and the sash, and all the different pieces of the garmentry of the priesthood, and how that was a, again, just a representation of so many things of the Lord, of His work, of the ministry, of the priesthood, seen just in the very garments that they were to wear. Now, as we continue on in our study, we're going to be looking today at, now that we've got the priests established, we've got them clothed. That's a good thing. They're clothed and ready to serve. Now we're going to be ready to consecrate them, to set them apart, to basically dedicate them now to the Lord's work. And that's what we're going to be looking at now in the 29th chapter. Let's look at verse 1. And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. And you shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. So they were, as it says in verse 1, it's what you need to do here. Moses is getting instruction from God. Remember, up on Mount Sinai, remember he's there getting all this word about the construction of the tabernacle, the priest, he's getting all this from the word, from the Lord up on Mount Sinai, and God tells him, this is what you're to do, to hallow them. Hallow is simply meaning to consecrate, which is to set apart. We looked at that word last week, holy, which is simply meaning to be set apart. All those things that were to be used for the garmentry and different parts of the tabernacle were simply those that were set apart for the Lord's work. And that's what it means to be holy. When you take something and you set it aside for the purpose of God's work, for His glory, that's holy. If your life is set apart for the Lord, saying, you know what, I want to remove it from the things of this world, I want to step aside from those things that can easily entangle me, well, when we are setting ourselves apart, guess what? You're holy unto the Lord. And so this is what Moses was told to do, to hallow them for ministering unto the Lord as priests. As we saw in verse 3, to take them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons, in verse 4, you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. So, Moses was to bring Aaron and his sons, this priestly line, to the tabernacle where they were to be washed with water at the door of the tabernacle. And this was the first step. This was to precede all else. And it was a full cleansing, and it was done publicly. And it would have been a humbling thing standing there in front of, you know, the whole nation or those that had gathered to witness this event of the consecration of the priest, where to stand there and to be washed publicly in front of everyone. And notice that it was a big cleansing and it was a one-time thing. You see, after this step, they only needed to come and wash their hands and their feet as they came to serve the Lord. This was a one-time thing that took place at the ceremony of consecration for the priests. And after this, when they came to offer sacrifices and minister to the Lord, they just needed to wash their hands and their feet. It's interesting, Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, let me read it to you. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It said there that He saved us through the washing of regeneration, through Jesus Christ, or through the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then in Ephesians 5:26, it says also that we're cleansed with the washing of water by the Word. And so it is in our lives, guys, that we've received God's cleansing in our lives from sin by Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross. We've come, and we realize that we need, first of all, to walk in humility and recognize that, yeah, we are unclean. That's the first step here in coming to the Lord, is recognizing I am dirty. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm unclean, and I need help here. I need the Lord to come and wash me clean. And we recognize that as we ask Him to do so, He will do that work in our lives. And we'll see that we're clean. Jesus told Peter as he was washing the disciples' feet, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And Jesus is telling him, you know what? You're already cleansed by the word I've spoken to you. You just need to have your feet washed. Because as we go through the world, man, we can pick up a lot of dirt oftentimes. We recognize that doesn't spoil our salvation. We're already clean. We've been washed. We've been regenerated through the working of the Holy Spirit. Washed by the Word. Cleansed in Jesus Christ. And so we come now and just offer up confession. Say, Lord, you know what? I picked up some dirt. Just continue that process of washing me clean. And so we can rest assured that the work of salvation is complete in us. And yet, as I said, there are times when we just simply want to have the dirt of this world washed off that we so easily pick up. And so they're to come to the camp or to the door of the tabernacle and be washed with water. A one-time full cleansing. After that, washing just their hands and their feet. And then in verse 5, as I already read, you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. And you shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. You shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. So we see now that Moses is putting on the garments on Aaron. The ephod, the breastplate, and all those parts of the priestly garments. And the garments shone forth the beauty of service to God. Remember back in our previous chapter, in verse 40 of chapter 28. For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them, for glory and beauty. For glory and beauty. You see, God desires that His people are shining forth just His glory and beauty as we minister unto Him. And we see very quickly that as we set ourselves apart and as we desire to simply serve the Lord, man, that's going to be beautiful. I love it when I see people, and we talked about this last week or the week before, about just using our gifts. I love it when I see people just desiring to use their gifts to minister unto the body, to minister unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. You know, last week we saw a very practical way of just using your gifts. Cindy Lee, who's a photographer, says, you know what? I just want to take pictures. I want to set up our thing and just take pictures for people to have family pictures done in the church. And there she was after church just taking pictures. And it's just a very practical way of serving the Lord with the ways that He has enabled you. And I love that. And you know what? It's a beautiful thing to see people just serving the Lord, not because they have to, not because they feel obligated to, but because they get to. And it's a beautiful thing, and God gets the glory when you begin to see people serving the Lord. I love it after church when we are, you know, just dismissed and people start stacking chairs and putting things away. They just start kind of dismantling our church here. It's wonderful to see people just serving. It's a beautiful thing. And so it was to be with this priestly line, garments that were to shine forth beauty in their service to God. Now, garments in Scripture oftentimes speak of the character and the life as believers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 32, if you're taking notes, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 14, speak of laying aside the former things, in a sense, the old clothes. You're to lay aside those old garments that characterized our life before we came to Christ. And now as we come to Christ, we are a new creation. And put on those things that are holy and pleasing unto the Lord. And so our garments, when we speak of garments in Scripture, oftentimes speak of that character and the life as believers. And we need to be clothed in Christ's righteousness. And we need to let that be seen. Let it be evident in the way that we live our lives. I desire that as Christians, wherever we are, whether we're in fellowship here with the Lord's family on Sundays, or whether we're out in the world at work or at home or at school, wherever it might be, my prayer, my desire for us as a people is that we're shining forth Christ's righteousness, those new garments that we've been able to put on. And let me tell you, when that's shining forth, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be glorifying to God as people witness that in your lives. It's a sad thing when I see believers out in the world that are doing things that kind of characterize their former life. See, we're to lay aside those things. You know? We're to put that off and put on those new clothes that bring glory and beauty to Christ. It's an important thing. And so the priestly line here is putting on these clothes, this priestly garments. And look at verse 9. We missed verse 7. This is good. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Anoint the priest for ministry. Again, it's setting him apart. And we know that oil in Scripture speaks of whom? The Holy Spirit. It's a way of anointing him and just bathing him in the Holy Spirit. Because we recognize very quickly, guys, take note of this. If you want to serve the Lord, if you want to launch out into ministry, don't try it in your strength. Don't do it based on what you feel you can bring to the table. You serve the Lord and you minister unto the Lord simply through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Because when you do it in yourself, you're the one that's going to get the glory, and God isn't. And when you do it in yourself, well, you're probably just going to fall flat on your face anyways. And I'm trying to save yourself from denting your nose here, okay? You minister through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Just pray for His anointing on your life. The anointing is not some kind of magical, mysterious thing. As it's kind of, you know, I've heard that word thrown around in Christian circles so much. The anointing is here. Everybody, the anointing is falling. I just think, you know, it can get so misconstrued. And as we see in the case of Moses and Aaron pouring the oil on, it's just this abiding in the Lord. It's just the presence of the Holy Spirit filling your life to enable you to serve the Lord, to be a witness. What's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? It's to testify of Christ, to make Him known. And so as we minister to the Lord, we do it so that Jesus is the one that's seen. And so the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 133 speaks about this event. Let me just read it to you quickly. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You've maybe heard that verse many times. But as you read on, look at what's happening. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Interesting how they put those two together. How beautiful it is and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil. And as Moses poured the oil to anoint Aaron, it just ran down. I mean, this was not a little dab on the forehead I'm talking about here. This is poured on. It came down his beard. It dripped off his beard onto the breastplate. Remember, on the breastplate, there was the 12 gems, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the oil poured upon them. And again, Aaron just representing the people before God as he served and ministered there in the tabernacle. How beautiful it is, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And so it was as the oil covered Aaron's head and came down upon the breastplate, covered the gemstones representing the tribes of Israel. Man, they were in unity there before the Lord. They were together. And Aaron just ministering in the empowering of the Holy Spirit before the Lord. Guys, that's the key to ministry. Not by might nor by power, but not by might nor by power, but says the Lord. Amen. Zechariah 4:6. That's one of our staple verses in this fellowship. Remember that one. It's by the Spirit that you're going to be enabled and go forth and minister unto me. And in verse 8, then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. I like that. You shall gird them with sashes. Those sashes that came around just kind of kept everything in place. The ephod that came down, that was almost like an apron. The robe underneath the ephod. The sash would go around and just kind of keep everything snug up against the body, keep everything in place. Gird them with sashes. I like that word, gird. That's a great word. Does it say gird in the NIV? Who's got the NIV here? In verse 9. Who's got the NIV? Anybody have NIV here? What's it say in verse 9? And you shall what? Michelle? Tie sashes. Okay. You guys got to get a new King James. It's just so good. But you read and you think, gird, what's... Come on, gird. That's, we don't use that word today. But you see, as people were living for the Lord, remember, as the people of Israel were to come out of Exodus, they were in a sense to gird up their robes. In other words, they would wear these robes that kind of came down fairly long, and it would kind of, you know, get in the way at times. Well, when they were to get ready to act, get ready to do something, gird it up. Pull it up, in other words. You're going to make yourself a little skirt here, okay, man? This is what the idea was. Get it out of your way so that you're going to be free to move, to act, to follow the Lord. And this is what they were to do when they were to come out of Egypt. Get ready because the Lord's going to lead. Get ready to follow the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1. Why don't you turn over there with me? 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I love that verse 13. Gird up the loins of your mind. 7 times you're told to gird up your loins. And that was what was being meant there, to kind of pull up that robe, pull it up and gird up your loins so that you're ready for action. When soldiers were ready to go into battle, gird up your loins, pull it up, tie that sash around you so that you're ready. Nothing's going to, you know, hinder you and get in your way. You're ready for action. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, Peter tells us. You see, and so it is that we can have so many things that just kind of get filtered into our head and into our mind, that it begins to be like a robe that just kind of covers things up inside, covering up the truth, covering up those things that we know we should be doing. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be clearly thinking here. Be receiving the truth. Be ready to do that which the Lord has shown you to do. And he goes on to say that you can be holy. For it's written, be holy, for I am holy. And notice here that in verse 8, you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. What was on those tunics? On that tunic there was to be this plate that was to be tied around their head. And on that plate, does anybody remember what it said from chapter 28? On that plate that was to be on their forehead, holiness to the Lord. It was a constant reminder right there upon their head, upon their mind, that as they come in and serve the Lord, they are to be holy, set apart. Holiness to the Lord. Nothing else is going to do. We need to be totally set apart, pure and holy unto the Lord. And Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. In a sense, be like those priests that have that plaque upon your forehead. Wherever you go, be remembering holiness to the Lord. Be holy, for I am holy. And that's not going to happen until we begin to take action and gird up the loins of our mind, where we're sober, where we're thinking in the Spirit, having that mind of Christ. You see, we're not going to be able to be set apart and be holy until we're clearly thinking and saying, you know what, I got to get those things out of the way. You know, that show that I watch, man, it's cluttered my mind with things that I shouldn't have. I need to gird up the loins of my mind. Listening to that music on the radio has just put those thoughts in my head. I need to gird up the loins of my mind so that I'm sober and thinking straight, serving the Lord properly, being holy as He is holy. Holiness to the Lord across the forehead, as a priest was to wear. So gird them with sashes. I love that word, gird. That's great. I'm going to start to use that more, I think. And I know I'll probably get mocked, but that's all right. Verse 10. Jesus, in a sense, became our sin offering. J. Vernon McGee says this about this laying on of hands. the flesh of the bull, most